The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, do not be afraid. When the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. In a small little town in the southwest, some time ago, the town probably now a ghost town, there was a particular man who was a scourge on the community. He was a drunkard. And the people just thought if he would just find religion, things would go so much better for us and for him. And one day there was a traveling preacher who came in, hellfire and brimstone kind of preacher, you know, the Bible in one hand and the cross in the other, and he was going to convert the town, and the townspeople told him about this drunkard, and so he said, well, bring him to the river. And so they dragged this drunkard to the river. The preacher and the drunkard got in, and the preacher holds him under the water and pulls him out and says, Have you found Jesus? And the drunkard, spitting and sputtering, says, No. And he dunks him again, brings him back up. Have you found Jesus? Not yet, he responded. A third time, the preacher holds him under the water and pulls him up. Did you find Jesus? Are you sure this is where he went in? I like that story, and it is just a story. But I like that story because it reminds us encountering Jesus Christ is not something we can force on someone. And that's what these Gospels and the readings are about today. We have first Daniel, who encounters the Lord, the God the Most High, and he sees the Son of God, the Son of Man, sitting in glory, and he's just in awe, and he takes it all in. He wasn't looking for it. It wasn't forced on him. He didn't force this encounter, but it came all the same. That's the thing with encounters, is they come unexpectedly. They come without any expectation and sometimes without any particular cause. You just encounter. There you are. It's like turning around in the grocery store and you finally see somebody that you've been just thinking of. You encounter that person at a deeper level. Daniel has that kind of experience, and he tells about it in today's first reading. And of course, the apostles Peter, James, and John have that experience in the Transfiguration. And Jesus knows what's going to happen. He leads them up a high mountain, which for those that are familiar with sacred geography, as soon as you hear mountain, you should be thinking this is going to be a place of encounter. Because time and again, people encounter God on mountains, Mount Sinai, and Calvary, Tabor, this Transfiguration. And there they are, and the authors of the Gospels struggle with trying to describe what Jesus looked like. And we have the word transfiguration, and that's what we celebrate this day. But it wasn't that he was transformed, but rather that his divinity shone forth through the humanity. Struggled, what does this look like? And Mark himself, who gets his gospel, and Peter was one of his primary sources, it is believed, Peter, because Mark followed Peter. Mark says his clothes became so dazzlingly white, such as no fuller could get them, so that you couldn't bleach them that white. They're struggling with words. And they see Moses and Elijah, the lawgiver and the prophet, the ones who would come and prepare the way for Jesus. And they don't know what to do, and Peter struggles. Lord, it is good that we are here. Let's build three tents. It's a fancy way of saying, let's stay here. Let's stay here. It's so wonderful, Lord, that we are here. Let's just stay here and stay in this wonderful place on this mountain and not even have to go back. But the problem with encounters, as unexpectedly they come, they unexpectedly go as well. They do not last. And the more encounters we have with the particular person, the more friendship we can have with that particular person, but the encounter itself does not last. And they don't know what to do with this encounter all the same. They heard the voice, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased, listen to him. They're willing to listen to him, but what does it mean? And Jesus on the way down, do not tell the vision to anyone until after I've been raised from the dead. And all of a sudden, they realize something more, some reason why they had that encounter in the first place. It was to prepare them for the scandal of the cross. See, when the apostles saw the cross, saw the crucifixion, they saw the depravity of the human race. They saw Jesus Christ reduced, put to death, destroyed. And if they didn't have that encounter with Jesus, knowing that than just a human being with him, they could have just easily walked away and said, he's gone. But even then, they didn't fully understand until after the resurrection. And notice Peter understands what that message is all about. Do not tell anyone until after I've been raised from the dead. Because then he starts to share in today's right from Peter, right from his pen or his scribe's pen. We have Peter's account. And he's reflected on it so much that he says, we're not following cleverly devised myths. We're following something that we know is true because we saw his glory. We were there with him on that holy mountain. We heard the words of God the Father, and we hold fast to these. And you too would do well to hold fast to them. Like one looks forward to light in the darkness of morning. You would do well to hold fast. My encounter that gives me faith. And my encounter is one that ought to give you faith too. But notice, he's not upon them. He's trying to encounter Jesus Christ on their own. In the end, that's what we're all called to do. To encounter Jesus Christ. And honestly, none of us can go to Mount Tabor and have an encounter with Jesus. To go and see him in the Transfiguration. But we have had an encounter. In the end, really, the Catholic faith is really about that encounter. And so, yes, I know we get the reputation as Catholics. We have the Code of Canon Law, and we have the catechisms, we have UCATs, and we have this book and that book, and we have all sorts of theology, all sorts of doctrines, all sorts of dogmas, and all those things are wonderful and great, and I can talk about them until I'm blue in the face, but that doesn't change a single person. It's almost as effective as dragging a drunkard down to the river and forcing him underwater. It just doesn't work. But what does work is sharing of how we have encountered Christ, sharing how he has affected our lives, how he's changed us, and how so often that encounter is one that is completely, totally unexpected. All of us, hopefully, have had an encounter, maybe not the youngest among us quite yet, but all of us have had some kind of encounter, otherwise we wouldn't be here. I'm deeply convinced of that. But sometimes we get. And in my own prayer life, I've had to go back in my own mind, where was my first encounter? And I keep coming back. I have to admit, I was a brat when I was 5, 6. Well, some would say I still am. I didn't want to go to Good Friday services when I was about 5 years old. I did not want to go, and I don't know why. It was just being a brat, I think. And my mom, in her gentle way, and she had a non-gentle way as well, but this time she happened to be gentle, told me, Jesus loved you enough to die for you. The least you could do is go to service and thank him for it. Fine. And I went. I don't remember a word of what Father preached that day. I know he followed the ritual well because that was his tendency, to follow it really well. But something in that liturgy changed me. That I encountered Jesus at a deeper way that made sense, even at 5 years old. That, yes, he loves me. I don't know why he loves me, but he does. He loves me, and he loves me enough to die on the cross. And every single encounter that I had with Christ from that moment on was a deeper revelation of that love that he has for me. And so when I was about to receive first communion in second grade, well, the priest in our parish had been removed for various reasons, and I know those reasons. And so we were about 2 months without a resident pastor, and I thought, oh, great, I'm never going to receive first communion, how second grade minds work. And about a week before my first communion, some of you might know, Father McGowan came to our parish, and I thought, oh, great, somebody I don't know, but in the end, it was through the sacrament of the Eucharist that I encountered Jesus again, and one who would give his life to me, give his life for me, that I could have life with God. I didn't fully understand what that meant, any more than Peter fully understood what the transfiguration meant. And time and again, in ordination, in confirmation to, you know, first, of course, in ordination, time and again, and various other times in my life where I've encountered Jesus in ways completely, totally unexpected. Now, I could be like the apostles before the resurrection and just say, well, that was all nice and good, but I'm going to keep it to myself. Notice that isn't what Jesus is telling them in today's gospel reading. He's not telling them, don't tell anyone, but he's saying, until you've fully understood what this means in your life, then tell everyone, and Peter does. We're all called to share of those encounters that we have. And I keep wondering, I know it's a made-up story, but I keep wondering, what if the townspeople of that town, that made-up town, had taken it upon themselves to share with that drunkard the love of Jesus Christ instead of their own condemnation? What if instead of relying on this traveling preacher to come in and to force a conversion, which didn't stick anyway, that they had shared Jesus? What if? I think the problem is we don't have the language. We haven't paid attention ourselves, and I haven't enough myself. But I am convinced there are three primary ways that we encounter Jesus Christ yet today. They happen to be all S's. First, in the Scriptures. When we read the Scriptures, as Saint Jerome would tell us, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ himself. When we read the Scriptures, every word, every verse is about Jesus, and he reveals himself to us. If we open our hearts and minds and ask for that understanding, Jesus Christ reveals himself to us. And sometimes that revelation isn't, you know, like the Alleluia chorus beginning or anything like that. Sometimes it's subtle. But we encounter Jesus Christ every time we open Scriptures and read it prayerfully. In the sacraments. Hopefully you've had some kind of encounter with the mercy of Christ in the sacrament of reconciliation. On Friday we celebrated the memorial of St. John Vianney, who spent, it's hard to even imagine, but 16 to 18 hours per day in the confessional, hearing confessions. Always aware that this is how people might encounter Jesus this day. We encounter Jesus every time we receive him in the Eucharist, and even just being in his presence and adoration. We encounter Jesus, and sometimes we overlook it. Sometimes we just go through the ritual and the routine, and we just forget. Those who are married, hopefully you've encountered Jesus in your spouse, and living out that matrimony, that holy sacrament, those who are ordained, and confirmation. Yes, every time, every sacrament. And even if we're just a witness of those sacraments, time and again, every time I celebrate a wedding, a marriage, I'm challenged in my own life to encounter Jesus in my ordination. All of us are called to encounter in the sacraments. And the third way, and the one that's probably the most common and the one that's hardest to understand, is in the saints. Not only the saints that are canonized that the church presents to us as these are models, but in the holy men and women that surround us. My mother that day, I was being a brat, she could have been anything but a saint, but she challenged in love. this made-up community? What if they had taken it upon themselves to live their encounter with Jesus Christ and share that encounter? That's what it's about. That's what it means to be a disciple, to encounter Jesus Christ and to share with others that encounter. Jesus Christ is transfigured, and we celebrate that this day. He's transfigured to give the apostles an encounter that will help them get through all the difficulties in their life. We ourselves have encountered Jesus Christ, and we are about to encounter him again in this Eucharist. And are we willing to share that encounter with others, especially those most in need? This week, I challenge you. Where have you encountered Jesus Christ the first time or the most recent time? And to share that with at least one person. If it's a little difficult, think about the person that you're closest to that you can share anything with. The more we get comfortable with sharing that encounter, the more we get comfortable with sharing with one another, the more and more our witness will be real to the community.